Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for giving us the words for prayer. God, we thank you for teaching us how to pray with our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Amen. Which mic am I on? All right. So, there was this terrible rainstorm and flooding, just awful flooding. And there's this guy who starts to pray. Prays to God, God, save me. Don't let me drown in this flood. And it rains more and it rains more, and he keeps praying harder. Finally, his house starts to flood, so he climbs up on the roof. And as the waters rise, a guy comes by in a canoe, you know, paddling by, and says to him, come on, man, come get in the canoe. And he says, no, God's got me. I'm going to be okay. The waters rise more and more and more. A helicopter comes, lowers the ladder. They're shouting down to him, dude, climb up the ladder. He says, no, I'm fine. I'm praying. God's got me. Finally, Navy SEALs show up. They try to take him, and he says, no, I'm okay. God's got me. Finally, the waters rise up over his head, and he dies. Of course, that's not the end. He gets to heaven, and he's angry. And yes, that's right. Even people who are angry at God go to heaven. Praise the Lord. So he gets up to heaven, and he goes up to God, and he stomps his foot, which has little impact if you're on a cloud. But anyway, and says, God, why didn't you save me? I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. I read in scripture that whatever you ask for, you will receive, and you didn't save me. And God says, what else did you want me to do? I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter, I sent Navy SEALs. What do you want? Of course, the man didn't understand that his prayer was answered all along, that God was giving him the things that he needed to survive, but he couldn't see it because he was caught up in this idea of piety, this idea that all he had to do was ask. He didn't have to receive what was given. Have you all seen this commercial? I think it's for Geico or something. We don't have sponsors. We're not getting a big check because I just said Geico, unfortunately. But have you seen this commercial where it's these elderly women and they have pictures up on a wall, and the woman says, I put this up on my wall. And the one person says, that's not how this works. And she says, I unfriend you. And the woman says, that's not how any of this works. That's sort of my message sometimes around theology. I just look at people and I say, that's not how any of this works. And certainly with the message of the man who's drowning and all of this help is available to him and he's not reaching out for it, you just want to say, that's not how it works. You're not waiting for God to show up. God shows up in other people. So what does it mean when the scripture says, ask and you will receive? What does it mean when Jesus taught his disciples to pray and says these three distinct things? He says in prayer, we say, give to us. We say that we are dependent on God. We say, forgive us, that we are human beings and we make mistakes. And lastly, we say, lead us. Deliver us from being lost and vulnerable. Well, what does all that mean when it comes down to our daily lives, getting up, going to work, sitting in traffic? What does it mean that we know we have these examples of how to pray, but really, it's hard to know what to do with that? When I was a teenager, I had an incredible mentor role model named Carlos Alvarez, who many of you also knew Carlos through Tampa AIDS Network. And he worked at Tampa AIDS Network for many, many years and lived in St. Pete and drove across the Howard Franklin Bridge every day. And everybody would always ask Carlos, you know, why don't you just move to Tampa? Why don't you give up this drive? And he said, you know, I don't mind the drive. I like being on the bridge every day. And I always thought that was really strange. And many, many years later, after he died, His sister told me at his memorial service that the reason why Carlos drove over the Howard Franklin Bridge every day was that was the only time that he ever prayed. Now, Carlos, in a good way, it was his meditative time. It was also, when you're on the Howard Franklin Bridge, it's better to pray than maybe some of the other words that come out of your mouth while you're driving. But Carlos was very anti-church. In fact, as I was starting to get into the whole church thing as a teenager, he thought that that was kind of ridiculous and teased me relentlessly about it. But he had this rich prayer life that I never knew about. And Carlos, one of the things that he did was he mentored a number of teenagers, probably a couple hundred over the years. And that's chaotic work, in addition to his work at Tampa AIDS Network. And that time in his car was the time that he had to talk to God and to talk to God about us, who he worried about terribly, rightfully so, because we were awful, and gave him a hard time. But that was where he found God. And the message in this scripture really is also about finding the place where you can speak to God. Jesus gives us a particular formula, but doesn't tell us what we have to say. We have this beautiful example, this prayer that there are a few different ways of saying that we call the prayer that Jesus taught us. In some churches, they call it the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. But that's not the only way to pray. Another little story about church. I didn't go to church when I was a kid. I occasionally went with my grandmother to the Methodist church, but that was very, very occasional, a few times a year. And I remember one time in Sunday school. Now, I hated Sunday school, like really hated it. And it wasn't anything about the church. It wasn't anything about Jesus at all. I thought Jesus was probably pretty cool. It was about what I had to wear. Because, oh, my goodness, that was a horrible experience. So, I mean, most of you know my story a little bit. Some of you might not, that, you know, that I was born female. So I had to wear patent leather shoes. And the only time in my life I ever wore dresses, because I was not doing that, was to go to Sunday school. Because I didn't understand God, but I knew that God cared a lot about not having scuff marks on your shoes. And you know, frilliness, I don't know. So what I remember hearing in Sunday school was this message. I was probably 7 or so. That all you had to do was ask God and you would get what you needed. And they, of course, gave the example of, you know, you don't need to ask God for toys. God isn't Santa Claus. Which is a good thing for us adults to remember as well. But all you have to do is ask. Well, that's a dangerous thing to tell a person if you don't give it some context. And I'm sure they gave it plenty of context, but we're talking about my 7-year-old brain and what I was able to remember all these years later. What I know is that at that time in my life, that message was very painful for me, because at night I would go to bed and I would say, okay, God, you have all the power and you can turn me into a boy. And then in the morning I would wake up and it didn't happen, and I would be so, so upset with God. And it happened for years. My mother likes to tell the story of me believing, because my grandmother takes me to church. My grandfather tells me, if you kiss your own elbow, then you'll turn into a boy. If anyone wants to try to kiss your own elbow, I'm the only one who's looking this way, so if you try it, no one will notice. It's impossible, which was his point, but I didn't get that. So here I am at night, trying to kiss my own elbow till I like just about dislocate my shoulders, and praying to God, and both things feel just as useless in my life. So, I was angry. I was the man on top of the house who keeps saying, God, fix it. and God doesn't fix it because I didn't know what fix it looked like. So then let's fast forward to me being about 22 years old and sitting right here in this very sanctuary. Glenna Shepherd was the pastor at the time, and she was preaching a sermon, and I was sitting back there right around where Tom and Patrick are. And Glenna was preaching away, and I remember looking up at the stained glass and thinking, full disclosure, I have no idea what Glenna said. I was lost in my own thoughts, and if you're not paying attention to me right now and you have a huge life-changing epiphany, awesome. That's great. Because I remember looking at the stained glass and thinking, I woke up this morning and I was a boy. That thing that I prayed for, that thing that I hated God so much that I stomped my foot and stopped believing in God for years and years and years. And then here I was. And at this stage in my life, I had not started any hormones, I hadn't had any surgery, but I had gotten to a place where I was okay with myself. I had found this community where we were all kind of figuring it out together. People were working on getting pronouns right and stuff, but I was comfortable in myself. And God got me there. God got me there by sending me people like Carlos Alvarez, who drove across the Howard Franklin Bridge every day and didn't have the words for what was wrong with this kid who he promised to help guide. And I was a horribly depressed teenager. He didn't know what was wrong in my heart, but every day across that bridge, he prayed for that moment of me sitting back there, knowing that I was okay. That's the power of prayer. The power of prayer isn't that me as a small child, that I got to wake up and be what I am then. The power of prayer is that I suddenly had the tools. I had the experience of God in the prayers and the strength and the faces and the hands of other people. The power of prayer was that other people prayed for me when I was too angry and too detached to have the words to pray for myself. When I wasn't able to look at the scripture and see this pattern of God give us and forgive us and lead us. I couldn't even say those words, but prayer got me there. That's what got me to start the journey of transitioning, because there were multiple surgeries and hormones and complications and many things in my future to get me to be where I am now, to where, honestly, being trans is not the most interesting thing about me.
Amen.
But I had to go through that because my journey to being a pastor included that. Not fixing some cosmic mistake, but what I went through to get there, even those years of hating God, it's really funny to think that I both didn't believe in God and hated God at the same time, which shows that I never really didn't believe. But I was just so full of anger. So Jesus tells us to pray, to ask for what we need. So my question to you is, what is it that you're scared to ask for? What is it that feels so scary to you that if you don't get it, you're gonna both hate God and not believe in God at the same time? What is it that's missing in your life? What is it that you need to be filled with to feel okay in who you are? It's scary to think about these things. It's much easier to stand on the rooftop and scream and holler that we're not getting what we want as the waters rise up and threaten to swallow us. It's easier to be lost than to find our way. The gospel invites us to reflect on the story of our prayer life and where it takes us. It gives these strange examples, such as going to your friend's house in the night and saying, I need bread, someone just stopped by. And then, would this friend turn you away? Now, in our culture today, if someone knocks on my door in the middle of the night asking for bread, I probably wouldn't answer the door, to be honest. Maybe if it was one of you and I knew who it was. If it was Brian Parker outside my door shouting, it's Brian Parker, I need bread, perhaps. Maybe. But in this context, the idea of anyone at all, friend, enemy, whoever, knocking on your door in the night saying, I need bread, the gospel tells us you wouldn't turn them away. The neighbor would not turn you away. You could compel them by saying, I am your friend, but even that won't matter, because in this context, it is absolutely unbelievable to think that that person will be turned away. So this is given as a grand example of absurdity, just like when a child asks for a fish giving a snake, or an egg and giving a scorpion. It's just not what's done. God will give us what we ask for. We have, as followers of Christ, a sacred obligation to ask for what we need. And it doesn't only mean shouting out to God, but to shout out to our friends, our neighbors, the people who can help us, and trust that your asking is enough. Trust that even if the answer to your prayer doesn't look like the thing that you want it to look like, that it is enough. And even if the answer doesn't come right away, that it will come. Patience is challenging for all of us. When we are struggling, when we are in depression, when we are wanting to transition in our lives, whether it's gender or some other major life change, the waiting is painful and awful. And sometimes all we have is prayer, which I know sometimes doesn't sound like enough, but you just need to trust that it is. And as I have said, and will continue to say, we are here for each other. I want to remind everyone about our prayer wall. It's a little empty, and I would love every week for our prayer meeting before church to take a lot more time, because we have more prayers to lift up. If you have a prayer that's on your heart, there are many ways to get those prayers to us. Put it on the wall, put it on the book that's in the lobby, send us an email, fill out the form online, reach out. And if you need help beyond someone praying for you, if you need counseling, if you need support, we can hook you up to those resources. This is how we do God's work. When we reach out to God and we say, give us what we need, God gives us these resources to get it. When we reach out to God and we say, forgive us for where we have fallen short, God gives us each other to offer forgiveness. And when we reach out to God and we say, lead us where we need to go, it is this congregation that will lead us, lead each other, and lead this community where we need to go. As the psalmist that we heard today said, we offer up thanks to God with a whole heart. And as we pray to God, and as we live in community, giving what we need, forgiving one another, and leading each other toward God, we offer up thanks. Amen.